And so let's do a quick review and remind us what this series is really about today. First, it's about identifying and removing the things that limit or hinder God from working in our lives. And then secondly, it's about how to step into everything that God has for us so that we can be all that God called us to be. So let's put up slide one. We found some things out. Let's go over some things that we found out. Number one, that God can be limited from working in our lives. In other words, we can limit God. Psalm 78, verse 41 reads like this. It says, "And yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." How many know the children of Israel could limit God? Then we can limit God as His people as well. This is very true. And although this may be a novel thought to many believers, the Scripture clearly reveals this astounding truth that we need to be aware of. We found that there are definitely things that we can do to limit God or hinder God from working in lives and even doing what it is His will to do in our life. How many know His will isn't automatic? So that's Old Testament. Well, let's look at a New Testament scripture. There's several, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Most of us, as we read this verse, we stop reading halfway through it and shout and praise God for it, and we should. But we shouldn't stop reading it because that's not a complete thought. Now, this is how we read it. Now unto God, now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly far beyond all we ask or think. Many believers have memorized this verse and use this verse or quote this verse, and they stop right there. But right there is an incomplete thought. Notice that God is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we can ask or think, but according to the power that works within us. And here's what we found. The power that works within us is faith. Our faith or trust in Him, or our faith or our trust in God's Word. God works in proportion to the power that works in us, and that power or that effect is our faith in Him. This means that God doesn't just work independently of us to bring His will to pass. We need to understand that. So much in today's religious world just thinks that God arbitrarily does anything that He wants because, after all, He's sovereign. Now, I've addressed this a number of times, and we must see that although that God is sovereign, it doesn't mean that God just does, when it comes to you or my life, God just does anything He wants to do. He's bound Himself by His Word, and He will do exactly what His Word said He will do. And notice here, once again, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, or in proportion to. This word means in the effect of the power that works within us. Everybody say, our faith in God is that power. I proved this in previous. We'll talk about that again in just one moment. Then number two, the second thing we found is how God works in our lives. I know I'm reviewing, but it does us good because in this series, we haven't hit week after week because of the summer and different breaks and different things. So how many know that faith doesn't come by having heard, it comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So how God works in our life is important for us to understand. And God works in our life through what? Knowledge. See, this is why it's important to go through it over it again, because if you all had it before I stopped, when I stopped, you all said knowledge. God, listen. You want to know how God works in this earth and how God works in our individual life? God works in our lives through knowledge. Our knowledge of Him, in other words, what we know and believe about Him. And again, what we know and believe about Him is called faith. Praise God. And so, how does faith come? Romans 10:17, so write it down. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so faith comes through our knowledge of God that we find in His Word. His power is either, God's power is either loosed or stopped in our lives by our faith or our lack thereof. Again, this means that God doesn't just arbitrarily work in our lives any way He wants to without our cooperation. A great example of this is, you know, that God's will for all of us to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, it's God's will that all come to repentance and all be saved. It says the same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. He wills all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But we have to understand this. Just because something's God's will doesn't mean that it will automatically happen. We have a part to play in it. It's called that whatever God has given and provided in His Word, He expects us to believe what He said about it and then receive it. We need to believe the message of salvation. You could only get saved by believing that Jesus Christ came, He died, He shed His blood, and through your faith in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, your faith in Christ calling upon His name, it saves you. When you hear that message and you actually respond to it, then and then only are you saved. It takes two parts. God's part of giving, your part of receiving what He's given. You know, if God just had His way in our lives and He could do anything that He wanted in all of lives, He'd get us all saved today and we all go in the millennial reign tomorrow. But church, that's not how it works. I said that's not how it works. So we need to understand this. Just like there's natural laws that govern this world, there are spiritual laws. There are divine laws that operate as well. And the reason why there are laws is because a law means it works the same for any person anywhere. That's why it's a law. How many know that gravity is a law? It's a natural law. And it works the same for anyone anywhere. You know, they don't drop off of buildings in Africa any different than we jump off buildings here. We both coming down. Praise God. Come on. Now, you may slow it down or you may land on something soft, but you're still going to fall. Why? Because of gravity. Well, just like there's natural laws, here's what we need to understand. There's also spiritual laws as well. And one of those spiritual laws is found in Romans. Write it down. Romans 3:27 is called the law of faith. And God demands that we live by this law. In other words, faith works. The thing about faith is it works, this law works the same for everyone, the same way everywhere. Or it wouldn't be a law. And that's how it works. So faith, what we find, is really our positive response to God's grace. In other words, what He gives. God's grace freely gives. God's grace unconditionally gives. In other words, whatever God promises in His Word, He gave it by His grace, His undeserved, unearned favor. So there's no amount of works that you can do to qualify to receive anything from grace. You know how you get what He gives by grace? By your faith. Just simply receiving and believing what His Word says. You don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to do any of those things. But all you have to do is believe and receive what God said. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. And how do we get faith? By hearing what His grace provides. Grace freely gives. Faith receives what grace has already given. Faith is simply and powerfully taking God at His word. And this is how we receive everything from God, because faith is a divine law that you and I are to live by. The good news is if it worked for any person, it can work for you because it's a law. Hallelujah. We just need to know how to operate it. Praise God and come in on those blessings. So today in continuing our series, I want to share with you two of the most limiting factors we could have in our lives, and they are wrong thinking and small thinking. wrong thinking and small thinking. And even though they're very similar, they are different. And over time, we're going to show the difference there. But what we want to do today is start with the first one. And today's message is going to be entitled, Right These Two Wrongs. In other words, R-I-G-H-T. Right These Two Wrongs. If we're going to take the limits off, then we're going to need to right these two wrongs. And this is going to be part one of this message. And so today, we'll begin by addressing wrong thinking. Praise God. Anybody ever thought wrong before? Well, we all have. But we don't have to stay in that boat. Here's the thing that we're going to find, that there's going to be things that we do think wrong about. Because the way we measure right and wrong thoughts or right or wrong thinking is only by one way, and that's God's Word. Come on, that's on. How else? Anything else would be just opinionated or your theory. Come on, your definition. But how many know truth is not something, truth is someone. Jesus Christ and what He said. This is why we always have to judge everything, whether it's right or wrong, by what God and His Word has said. If not, we're desperately at odds with God, and we're desperately deceived. And that's the way the devil wants us to stay. And so, but let's put up slide two, wrong thinking. Let's begin there today, talking about wrong thinking. So in starting here today, I won't go that long. Look at your neighbor and say, you're right. Praise the Lord. No, I'm not going to go that long today. We're only going to just look at one aspect of this. I have several aspects of this, but we'll pick back up in a couple weeks again on this. Praise God. Now, so everybody say wrong thinking. In starting here, something we need to understand is this. While words are the most powerful thing in your life, thoughts are the most important thing in your life, because there was never a word spoken or action taken that was not first a thought. So let me say it like this. While words are the most powerful thing in your life, how many know, write this down. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Matthew 12, verse 37, Message Bible says, words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words will also be your damnation. So while words are the most important, most powerful thing in your life, because they're the creative force. Just like God created His world, this world that we live in, God made us in His likeness and image. And the Scripture teaches us that our world is framed by our words as well. So while words are the most powerful thing, however, our thoughts are the most important things, because there was never a word spoken or action taken, think about it, that was not first a thought. Everything begins with a thought, church, a suggestion or a picture in the mind. They work to influence. I say they work to influence you. Thoughts work to inspire a belief which leads to words and actions. This is why I say there was never a word or an action that was first not a thought. He just didn't do something arbitrarily. Didn't just say something that you might have said it, but it was there. It came from a thought. Amen. And so thoughts work to inspire a belief. And that's what we need to understand. In case you didn't know it, there's a battle for your mind. And the battle for your mind is the battle for your beliefs. The battle for your mind is really a battle for your beliefs. And this is why right thinking is so important and wrong thinking is so dangerous to our lives. So once again, how do we know the difference between what right thinking is and wrong thinking is? Somebody tell me. The Word of God, what truth is. That's the only way we know. Everything else is opinion. And I know everybody's got one. But you know what? It doesn't make a difference. One day we'll all stand before God, and He's not going to ask you, what is your opinion? He's going to ask you what you do with His Son, with the truth. Everybody is measured by that. Praise God, I know in a world where there's a lot of variables and a lot of things going on there, and truth is relative to the world and all those kind of things, still 2 plus 2 equals 2. Come on. And we can tell whether you're a man or a woman. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. At least most of the times we can. Listen, just because you call yourself something don't mean you're it. Praise God. But if you say what God's Word says about you, you're it. Praise God. You know what? You are whether you say it or not. But if when we agree with God, it means this, that we have our thinking right. And why is right thinking so important? Because we are going to work to take the limits off, the things that are holding us back in life, the things that are destroying our life, the things that keep us from being all that God wants us to be, experiencing all that God wants us to experience, the good life that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, here's something that we all need to know. You can't live consistently different than your dominant thoughts. That's why your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts, whether you know it or not. If you don't like where your life is headed, listen, you're going to have to change the way you think about it. Because your life will go in the direction of your most dominant thoughts, whether we like it or not. That's why, amen, that's why right thinking is so important. And in other words, thinking thoughts after God's Word, and why wrong thinking something contrary to what God says about His Word about us, is so detrimental and dangerous to our lives. We'll never rise to the full potential of what God has for us with wrong thinking. And so we have to know what God thinks about us, what He says about us, so we can think thoughts after God. And it is possible for us to do that. The reason why God wrote His Word is so that we know what He thinks. And even though Isaiah 55, I know many people say, even the devil will come to you and say, well, God says His thoughts are not your thoughts, His ways are not your ways. He said that saying how much higher He is above natural man. But it doesn't mean we can't think after God's thoughts or have His mind. Matter of fact, the New Testament tells us, but we have the mind of Christ. And if we're born again, we can have the mind of Christ, because in our spirit, where the Holy Ghost lives, we have and can know, as 1 John chapter 2, know all things. All things of God, because the Holy Spirit will teach us and lead us and guide us into all these truths. This is why it's so important that we renew our mind with the Word of God, because that'll change wrong thinking into right thinking. Everybody say wrong thinking. See, you want to get rid of that. Thankfully, God's Word addresses this, because we all have to deal with wrong thinking. And what we're going to have to do is take thoughts captive. Amen. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. This possibly, unbeknowing to most Christians, will be one of the most used verses in your life if you're going to be successful as a Christian. Sometimes people say, Pastor, pray for me that I'll never have another wrong thought. What do you want me to do? Pray that you die and go to heaven? Because as long as you live, that you're going to be tempted by the devil with wrong thoughts. So don't be discouraged, and don't think that you're the Lone Ranger. See, part of the enemy's thing is to make you feel like no one else around you is going through you. If you were really right with God, you wouldn't have those ungodly or those wrong thoughts. But that's not true. Anyone can, and everyone will deal with wrong thinking from time to time. But if you do what the Word says here about casting down imaginations and replacing wrong thoughts with the right ones, it won't be nearly as bad once you exercise that in your authority over the devil. It changes over time. You won't nearly have to do it as much as you did, but you'll win in an area, and then something else will come up. But you know what? The good news is find out what the Word of God says and replace what the devil is saying with God's Word. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh or live in this body, we do not war after the body or after this flesh. So in other words, there's a spiritual battle going on. And we don't win spiritual battles with fleshly weapons. We have to win them with spiritual weapons. And this is what the Bible is telling us. There's a spiritual battle that requires spiritual weapons. And your number one spiritual weapon is going to be the Word of God. Verse 4 goes on and says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not natural, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, when it says it's mighty through God, in other words, God says, what I'm about to tell you is what I say is mighty and right. So agree with me. Well, I don't know if it'll work, Pastor. God said, agree with Him that this has the power to undo everything that's coming against you. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imagination. See, the word pulling down and casting down, verse 4, pulling down, verse 5, casting down, the King James Version, same Greek word in the New Testament, it means to destroy. Everybody say to destroy. So what do we destroy? What do we pull down? Imaginations. Wrong thinking. Imaginations are wrong thinking. Wrong thinking. Thoughts that are contrary to God's Word. And every high thing that exalts itself, here it is, against the knowledge of God. See, there's going to be, as long as you live in this earth, there's going to be thoughts that come that try to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. To try to convince you that that's greater. That God's Word won't work for you. That God isn't true for you in this. First, He'll tell you that the Word of God just don't work. It's a lie. God didn't say that. All those kind of things. Then once you start believing that God's Word is God talking to you, He'll say things like this. Oh, that won't work for you. Look at all the wrong things you've done. Look how you didn't measure up here. And He gives all the reasons, but this is not what the Word of God says that we're to do. We're to destroy all those things, all those reasons, all those mental elevations, all those philosophies of men's and doctrines of devils, as other translations said. That's every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And here's what it tells us to do. Bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, if you're going to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ, how do you do that? You bring it into obedience to the Word of God. You have to take thoughts captive. Make them prisoners of war. Make them prisoners of war. See them bowing down before you as you use the name of Jesus, as you use the Word of God. You say no to those things and you make them to obey Christ, so to the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so remember, we have to destroy wrong thoughts. And we have to take captive those wrong thoughts. And your knowledge of God or God's Word is the key to bring every thought into obedience to Christ or to the Word of God. So this is why I said, listen, while thoughts are the most important thing, words are the most powerful thing. And you can and will have to change all wrong thoughts or wrong thinking, not just by replacing them with right thoughts, but you will also have to replace them by speaking God's Word. Because they have the power to change it. See, it's right to pull them down, but how are you going to pull them down and destroy? Yes, I know, you can, and you have to think the right thoughts, but you don't destroy them just with replacing them with right thoughts. You speak right words against them. You declare what the Word of God says that gives you power and authority over them. So thoughts come flooding into your mind. What do? You just say, go away thought, go away thought, go away thought. or you just try to replace it with another mental picture. That helps, but that in itself is not the total answer. You answer it with the Word. Jesus gave us the correct illustration of this over and over. When the devil spoke to him, the devil showed him and took him in the temptation wilderness and all these temptations. Jesus always responded with words, with God's word. God's word is powerful. And this is what we're going to have to do. So, just think about this. When the enemy comes flooding into your mind, you know, things like this. You're not going to win this time. Then you need to know what the Word says. You need to replace it with 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "No thanks be unto God. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus." See, the devil comes and says, "You're going to die. I'm going to kill you." You need to answer with Psalms 118, verse 17. "I shall not die but live and declare the works of God." Come on, these things are serious. I know that many of you, you know, you're hearing this, but you know what? This is really where life is. When you go home, when you're by yourself, when you're at work, when you're, you know, the thoughts, you can't keep thoughts from coming to your head. You just have the answer when they come. You can't keep thoughts coming from your head no more than you keep birds from flying over your head. But what you have to learn to do is you have to keep the birds from making a nest in your hair. You can do something about that. And see, why are you saying that? Because it says that we're to pull down the strongholds. The strongholds are mental thoughts that we've allowed to park there, double park there, and we do nothing about. And the devil keeps hitting the replay button. To all those things, hear it over and over again, see it over and over again. Until you learn to stop it, it won't stop. And it does you no good to pray, God, do something about those thoughts. No, He told us to do something with those thoughts. He told us to cast them down, to resist them, and take authority over them. So it does us no good. You say, "Well, I've wasted a lot of time." We'll learn to do it right. Because we've all wasted a lot of time before by asking God to do things that He told us to do. This is why this is so important. Learning what God says, how to operate in the law of faith or in the kingdom of God. How about this? This thought comes to you. You're going to lose your mind, or you're losing your mind. Listen, he said that to so many people. You're losing your mind. You need to wake up and just quote really quick 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. That, what does it say? "But I have the mind of Christ." 2 Timothy 1:7, "But God's not given me a spirit of fear, but what has He given me? A spirit of power, love, and a sound mind." I got a sound, I got a deliberate mind. "Well, I can't remember that, Pastor Chris." Well, write it down and keep it in your pocket and pull it out. And every time that, then say it until it gets in your heart. It can get into your heart. Come on. Listen, if you're going to win the battle, this is what you have to do. I'm telling you what you have to do to win. Not to put up with wrong thinking. Because we all have to deal with it. Here's one. You know, depression just runs in your family. You know, you can't really expect to be any different. It was all through your family. No, you need to turn and quote what Isaiah 54 verse 14 says, "In righteousness you shall be established, and you'll be far from oppression and from terror, for it shall not come nigh you." Then verse 17 says, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." It didn't say it wouldn't be formed. It said it wouldn't prosper. Depression, go. I'll not accept you. And you say, "Well, I've been depressed half my life." You don't have to stay depressed anymore. Today can end right now because you say so and you agree with God. Slap your neighbor and say, "He's telling you the truth." Praise God. Now, don't slap your neighbor. Just say, "He's telling you the truth." That's right. Praise God. Say, "He's telling you the truth." Woo! there's a fight in the hallway now, right now. I'm just playing. Just playing. Oh, praise God. See, this is how what we must do to win over wrong thinking. Slide two, again, wrong thinking. So here's a wrong that must be righted, and it is thinking and believing, number one, God is against you. How many know this is a wrong thinking? Now, most of you, if you're part of this church, you know, you say, well, Pastor Chris, I know God is not against me, but let me tell you something. There's tons of people and each sitting in churches today, some of you even sitting in this church today, have that thought that God is really against you. And listen, you may have total victory over this and know that's a lie. Good for you, but you're going to learn how to take that truth and help other people. Because the majority of the world somehow has been convinced by the devil that God is against them. And you know what? This wrong thinking is a faith destroyer. Because if you think and believe that God somehow is against you and is your problem, then you'll never want to have anything to do with God. And you'll most definitely never come to Him. Let me tell you something. This is why so many people never don the church, the doors of churches. Because number one, they think God is against them. And number two, they don't think there's anything that's relevant in there that's going to help them with their day-to-day life. But I can just tell you, what I'm talking about is right where the rubber meets the road at every day. And that you need to stop letting the devil power break in your brain. Oh, I see the smoke. I'm just messing with you. So here's some thoughts that lead many to the conclusion that God must be against them. Come on. Things like this. Well, you know, God took your loved one. Or allowed it. And that just means this. Without me saying anything else, that in your mind, He is responsible for losing someone close to you. These types of thoughts that are incorrect only leave people mad at God, and God gets the blame. God gets the blame for something that the devil actually did. And you know what? There's good church people that by well-meaning even pastors, and I'm not against pastors because I is one, and by no means did every pastor say this, but I've said this for years. I remember a gentleman one time was a funeral home director. He came to me and said, Pastor Chris, heard me teach this. He said, Pastor, you're exactly right. When I was a funeral home director, I owned my own funeral home in Florida. I can't tell you how many pastors I heard stand up and say, God took your loved one. And how do you think a teenager feels when the pastor comes and says, daughter, I'm sorry, but you know what? God knows best, and God needed another. When he took your mama, he needed another flower in heaven. He needed another angel in heaven. Now, you may think that that's helping them for the moment, but I can tell you, ultimately, you just told them God killed their mama, and they'll never see they'll never see in this life their mother again, and God is the fault of that. Now, how do you think they're going to really feel about God? Number one, if nothing else, they're confused about God. The only thing that's going to unconfuse that is knowing this. This is why I'm teaching this, so that we can understand this is a part of wrong thinking, that God is against you. Here's another thing that the enemy... Now, in here today, you know that God didn't take your loved one. That when a person dies and they're a believer, they are received into heaven. But there's other reasons why people die, all kind of reasons why people die. But God ain't the one that's killing people. Because he needs another angel or another flower in heaven. Come on. Okay, you can't find that in the Bible, church. But people swallow hook, line, and sinker. Here's another one. It puts these thoughts. Just look at all your problems and the bad things that have happened in your life. I mean, he gets you to focus on. I mean, we've all had bad things that happen and all the problems in your life. Without understanding what the Word says, that will be a big deal in your life. There are reasons why bad things happen, even to good people. I don't have time to teach that today. Maybe in this, sometimes it will, because it's important that we understand. But I want you to know, if the devil can look at, make you magnify all your problems and the bad things that happen in your life, then you think automatically God is against you. Or how about this? This is one that I had personally growing up as a teenager. I didn't know any of the Word. You heard my testimony many times. I didn't know one scripture. I didn't even know John 3:16. Come on, I didn't even know the difference between Job and Job. You laugh, but I'm telling you, I didn't know the difference between Psalms and Palms. And Pastor Dale will be happy, just like Psalm, the book of Psalm. Amen. Even though it's five books there, we understand it's important that we know what the Word says. The reason I say that is because if I can learn the Word of God, anybody can learn the Word of God. If there's hope for me, there's hope for you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's telling you the truth. Wake up. Praise the Lord. So here we have to understand this. This is what I thought. I thought that all these bad things are just my lot in life. L-O-T. This is a lie. This is a lie that I believed hook, line, and sinker. All the bad things were just my lot in life. Now, if you think it's your lot in life, then it means this. There's nothing then God is against you, or God is doing this, or at best God is allowing this, and that just means this. If you believe that, there's nothing you can do about that. Because after all, it's your lot in life. But let me tell you something. That changed real quick. When I found out what the Word of God began to teach, and I heard that I had authority, and that my lot in life was connected to Jesus Christ, not anything that bad had ever happened in my life was designed to be my lot in life. My lot that God had for me has to do connected to my inheritance, to coming to Christ, and everything that was won in Christ. That means God is not against you. And it means that not only is not your lot in life, whatever's happened, you don't have to put up with it. If it's contrary to the Word of God, you don't have to put up with it. Amen. How about this one? Well, here's where a lot of religious people are. They think somehow God is against them because, the bad things are just, they accept bad things because it's just God's way of teaching you something. God has some high way. He put this on me. He's taught me. He's teaching me a good lesson. Listen, honey, you can learn from anything. That doesn't mean it came from God. Come on. You can learn from the two-year-old child. Pastor Debbie showed me a video this morning of Kevin, you little Rule Renly, in that little video in the kitchen or wherever she was at, dancing, praising God to the music. I mean, to tell you, she was doing it. How old is she? Year and a half. How many know that we can learn from that? But God's way to really teach us is to read the Word. It says, lifting holy hands without wrath and doubting. And we want to sit here, and then the little kid does it and say, oh, I'm under conviction. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh. That little kid can dance, and then we say, I guess I can't. Nobody looking. I just, yeah. No, come on. Or the video. Oh, praise God, I could go on and on about Listen, when bad things happen in your life, it's not God trying to teach you something. It's the devil trying to take something from you. How many know the devil wants to work against you? God's against you. Everybody's against you. And after all, you know what? I can't forgive that person. Yeah, you can. You better. How about this one? You'll never be able to trust God again. That thought comes in. You'll never be, because you prayed and you asked God and it didn't happen the way you thought it was going to be. Well, there are reasons why that could have been. But it ain't because God is against you. And the enemy wants that in any way you stop trusting God, because what does he want to do? He wants to attack your faith. He wants to attack your faith. You know, God is not against you, but the devil wants to make you think he is. No, all those things I just said and many others I could say, no, 1,000 times no to all of them. But too many people believe these very things. Everybody say, take the limits off. But all those things I just listed are all wrong thinking. And the problem with that wrong thinking is it will truly limit God from working in our lives, because they were designed by Satan to destroy your faith in God. Look, listen to me. God is not your problem or my problem. The devil is. John 10:10. You better learn that quick. John 10:10, and never forget it. The thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus, I've come that you may have life and may have it more abundantly. Amen. So God is not your problem. Either the devil is, which he always is, or our own wrong thinking or believing about God can be our problem. How many know that's just as much a problem as the devil? Because where did the wrong thinking and believing come from? From the thoughts of the devil. Or here's another thing that we've already addressed, our own lack of knowledge of God. And that always works against you, because Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So listen, the devil is against us. Ain't no doubt. He is our problem. Our own thinking, our own wrong thinking and believing can be our problem. And our own lack of knowledge of God's word. This is why we're here today. So we don't stay in that place. And we take the limits off. And we think outside of what we think over and above anything the devil. We tread upon those things that the enemy has said about us. We put them underfoot. We cast them down. And we start thinking thoughts after God's own thoughts. You know, really, all wrong thinking stems from not knowing the true nature and character of God. And in order, what do you mean the true nature and character of God? The nature and character of God is what God is really like, what he does and what he doesn't do. And until we understand what he does and what he doesn't do, or understand the true nature of God that's only revealed in one place, not your experience, but the Word of God, not what's happened to you, but the Word of God, not what somebody else told you, but what the Word says. That's how you know what the true nature and character of God is. And we find that by looking to Jesus, looking at him. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. This is why Jesus said in John 14:9, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Think about it. His disciples walking with him for 3.5 years and said, you know, show us the Father. And he shook his head. He said, have I been so long with you that you don't recognize him? If you see me, you have seen the Father. That just means this, that you could be walking with God himself and still not know what he's really like. If you want to know what the Father is really like, look at Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus' life and ministry not only revealed God the Father, but also demonstrated God's will in every situation and for every person. You better know that. I said, you better know that. Jesus' life and ministry revealed God the Father, and God's perfect will for every person. This is why Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. So every word and every action is the direct will of God and the revelation of God's will for your life. Point blank. We better understand it. And when we do, then those limiting factors, like wrong thinking, like God is against you, can be removed out of our life. Let's look at just a couple of those scriptures in closing today. How about Romans 8, 31 and 32? How many know that God isn't against you? If God, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, all these things that he's talking about, if you look prior to that, is all the bad things that can happen to us. Things that happen in our life because we have a real enemy. And as living for God, the devil and the world won't be happy about that. But God said, what shall we say to all these things that oppose us? If God be for us, that means he is, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Remember, the grace of God freely gives us all things of God. What are we to do? Our faith responds and receives that. If his son died to provide everything for us, there ain't nothing left that God good that God hasn't done for us. Woo! Glory be to God. James 1:17 says, reveals again, God's not against us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Notice every good and perfect gift is from above. Good, good, good. Every good gift. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter, write this down. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, in him is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Woo, glory to God. How about Acts 10, write it down. Acts 10:38, had God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Come on and help me today. Praise God. So these are the things that, what do? They give us right thinking so that we win over wrong thinking and we understand that God is not against us. Until people are convinced that God is not against them, they won't come to him. And even though you and I in this place today, the majority of it, realize that God's not against us, I'm telling you, there's things in your mind that the devil will still try to implant. Well, what about this? He will just say it in a different way to try to get us to side with his thoughts and agree. Why? Because he's after your belief system. But what are we going to have to do? We have to know the word. That's our mighty weapons. And we're going to have to undo the wrong thinking by right thinking, but right thinking that's replaced by the Word of God. And we declare what the Word of God says about us. That we're children of God, new creatures in Christ, have the mind of Christ. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. And the list goes on and on. Can you see today while one of the most dangerous limiting factors in our lives are and is wrong thinking? So what are we going to do about it? Think right. We're going to think thoughts after God's thought. Think thoughts after the Word. And then we're going to put them in our mind and in our heart and then use that as the weapon against what the enemy has come against us. And we overcome those things by what we say God's word says. The enemy flees when we resist him, when we exercise authority over him. And we're going to have to do that if we're going to take the limits off. See, God is not limiting us. We're limiting it ourselves. And the devil is using us as captives to make that happen. but it doesn't have to be. So today we begin by talking about wrong thinking. We'll pick back up and look at another area of wrong thinking, and then we'll go to small thinking. How many know that God wants to take the limits of small thinking as well? Not just blatant wrong thinking, but small thinking. Hallelujah. And we'll talk about that when we get there. Let's close by thinking about this today. I want to read from John chapter 6, beginning with verse 37. I want to exhort us in closing with this one portion of scripture here. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I want to stop right there one moment as we end this service today. I believe that the things that I've shared has helped every believer. And that's important because it's part of our discipleship process, part of us walking with God. You know, our relationship with God is of utmost and important, and how we walk with God has everything to do whether how we do that has everything to do with what we know His Word says. And so how we embrace what He says. If we think God is against us, how many know we won't come to Him? But when we really understand that He spared not His own Son, when we really understand every good, perfect gift comes down from the Father, then we'll want to grow in a relationship. We want to grow in Him. And we want to be discipled. That means that we'll continue in the Word and follow His Word, and the Word will set us free. How many know that's what we really want? And as a pastor, that's my job week in and week out, to disciple the flock, feed the flock, and disciple every person. But also, it's something that we need to be reminded of, and I do as best I can on that, is that we not only exist to win people, we not only exist to disciple people, but also to win people to Christ. So you may be here today, and there's never been a time that you made Jesus the Lord of your life. That I'm getting ready, the things I've got to share is to open your eyes to have the Father feels about you and what He wants to do to you right now. Or maybe at one time in your life, your eyes were open and you received Christ. But for whatever reason, you've gotten away from Him. And you're not in close fellowship with Him the way you desire and you know He wants you to be. Your own spirit will smite you. Will let you know that there is another way. You're just